Great, thank you. Thank you for sharing. And Dennis is now going to come and bring a reading. Remember, we're working through some old history of the Israelite kingdom, Israel and Judah. So Dennis is bringing on next.
So I'm going to be reading from 2 Chronicles, chapter 30, verses 13 to 27. A very large crowd of people assembled in Jerusalem to celebrate the festival of unleavened bread in the second month. They removed the altars in Jerusalem and cleared away the incense altars and threw them into the Kidron Valley. They slaughtered the Passover lamb on the 14th day of the second month. The priests and the Levites were ashamed and consecrated themselves and brought burnt offerings to the temple of the Lord. They took up their regular positions and prescribed the law of Moses, the man of God. The priests splashed against the altar the blood handed to them by the Levites. Since many in the crowd had not consecrated themselves, the Levites had to kill the Passover lambs for all those who were not ceremonially clean and could not consecrate their lambs to the Lord. Although most of the many people who came from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun had not purified themselves, yet they ate the Passover, contrary to what was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, "May the Lord, who is good, pardon everyone who sets their heart on seeking God, the Lord, the God of their ancestors, even if they're not clean, according to the rules of the sanctuary." And the Lord heard Hezekiah and healed the people. The Israelites who were present in Jerusalem celebrated the festival of unleavened bread for 7 days with great rejoicing. While the Levites and the priests praised the Lord every day with the resounding instruments dedicated to the Lord, Hezekiah spoke encouragingly to all the Levites who showed good understanding and of the service of the Lord. For the 7 days they ate their assigned portion and offered fellowship offerings and praised the Lord, the God of their ancestors. The whole assembly then agreed to celebrate the festival 7 more days. So for another 7 days they celebrated joyfully. Hezekiah, king of Judah, provided 1,000 bulls and 7,000 sheep and goats for the assembly, and the officials provided them with 1,000 bulls and 10,000 sheep and goats. A great number of priests consecrated themselves. The entire assembly of Judah rejoiced, along with the priests and Levites and all who had assembled from Israel, including the foreigners who had come from Israel and those who had resided in Judah. There was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the days of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there had been nothing like this in Jerusalem. The priests and the Levites stood to bless the people, and God heard them, for their prayer reached heaven, his holy dwelling place. May God bless reading of his word. Amen.
So please recall a meeting that you've been to when the Holy Spirit moved really powerfully. Personally, I recall going to a meeting when God's presence was so majestic, so massive, that many of us felt that God was encouraging us to bow down, and literally felt like a pressure on us, a physical pressure. And for probably the only time in my life, I was almost lying on the floor bowing. That's how massively the Spirit can move sometimes. And those kind of experiences you may just be recalling for yourself, they have some parallels with our reading, I believe. Our reading where the Spirit moves in a massive way. Please hold on to that as we go through our reading. So our sermon series is called Let God Be God. And that led me to 2 themes in this reading when I was preparing. And those are outcomes of the Holy Spirit and characteristics of Spirit-filled worship. And I'll talk through those as well, and their components, as well as the background to the text. We start with that background. The Holy Spirit acts through people in the Old Testament. I know some people may not agree with me. That's my understanding. So, for instance, Job's pal Elihu says, but it is the spirit in a person, the breath of the Almighty, that gives them understanding. And also, Bezalel was filled with the spirit to make artistic designs also in the Old Testament. And later in the Old Testament, we get Chronicles, part of which you heard, and Chronicles highlights righteous kings and flags kings and some of their sins. And as we heard last week, King Ahaz shut the temple and sets up altars around the country, altars to other gods. And later, King Hezekiah, who was flagged as a good king, reopened the temple. King Hezekiah also invites believers to a late Passover. And in the Old Testament, the Passover is the most important feast. Passover is followed by the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And at the Passover we heard about, the Holy Spirit moves in a massive way. And in our passage, we see the outcomes of the Holy Spirit, gathering for worship, encouragement, and wanting right relationships with God and with other people. And these outcomes of the Spirit are contagious. Gathering for worship. The believers gather to make sacrifices and celebrate the feasts of Passover and Unleavened Bread. They worship Jehovah, who saves his followers from slavery. How were they saved from slavery? Well, you may remember that in the Old Testament, the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. God sent the angel of death to kill the firstborn males in each family. The Israelites marked their homes with the blood of the lamb, and the angel of death passed over or missed the homes marked with the lamb's blood. Egypt losing their eldest sons called Pharaoh to order the Israelites out of Egypt, and thus Yahweh saved Israelites from slavery. And in Chronicles, believers gather for worship because they know that everything, life, family, freedom from slavery, are all from God. And similarly, the Holy Spirit prompts us today to gather for worship. We meet to worship Jesus, our Passover Lamb. Jesus took all sins upon himself. The Lamb was sacrificed for all sins. And in other words, Jesus died on the cross. And Christians are marked with the Lamb's blood. So on the final day, when God judges, he will pass over Christians, and thus we are saved from eternal separation from God. This is how Jesus reconciles us to the Father, and in short, an outcome of the Holy Spirit is gathering to worship our Passover Lamb. Looking at writing relationships with God, that's another outcome of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost motivates us to write our relationship with the Holy Trinity. So, for example, in our reading, the priests and Levites repent and use rituals to write their relationships with God. Believers make up with Yahweh by removing the altars to various idols. And likewise, the Spirit helps Christians to remove idols like selfishness and let God be God. In other words, we make God top priority. So as an example, and I'm sure you all have your own examples, is that when I was a child and I was growing up, my dad was called to be a teacher. At one point he was called to a very particular school. And it was actually, he had a really difficult time there. It was very, very difficult. But my dad wholeheartedly obeyed. Wanting others to be right with God. How did I get that from that text? Well, the Holy Ghost is love, and we want the best for those we love. And the best anyone can have is a perfect relationship with God. So an effect of the Holy Spirit is wanting others and ourselves to be in a right relationship with God and with others. And it's illustrated in our reading. Hezekiah wants believers and God to be on good terms. And Hezekiah knows that some believers are unconsecrated. That is, they are not in a right relationship with God. They haven't followed the particular ceremonial laws that Moses asked for. Well, that God asked for through Moses. So Hezekiah prays that God forgives unconsecrated believers. And likewise, the Holy Spirit drives us to evangelize because we want other people to be in a good relationship with God. And also, the Holy Spirit drives us to pray for people to meet Jesus. So as an example, me and Tim were in a restaurant. And at the table next to us, there was a man with no faith, and he was asking someone who was with him about Christianity. And I have a feeling that we recognized this person as a staff member from a particular church, and I won't tell you where it was. It wasn't Ely. So I'm not giving anything away. And this dinner companion wasn't answering the questions. And me and Tim were getting more and more frustrated. Eventually, we just interrupted and answered. Because we were driven, we were prompted. And fortunately, they engaged in conversation with us. We had the conversation. I hope that the man got closer to God. I've never come across them since, so I don't know. But still, we gave it a go. And encouraging others. That's also an outcome of the Holy Spirit. And for example, Hezekiah spoke encouragingly to the Levites in our reading. And these outcomes of the Holy Spirit are contagious. Please hold that thought because I will come back to it. Spirit-filled worship is also contagious. It's so contagious that in verse 23, the faithful continue to worship. They decide they're going to worship for another 7 days. And nowadays, maybe you've experienced times when spirit-filled worship is contagious and spirit services or meetings grow. I don't necessarily mean in terms of time, but they may grow as the Spirit moves in terms of what's happening. And our passage flags other characteristics, other features of spirit-filled worship. Gratitude. The Spirit prompts believers to be grateful to Yahweh because of how he saved them from slavery and death. And they show gratitude through fellowship offerings. That was one way in which they expressed it. Gratitude and knowing that God has saved you is the seed of, it causes praise and joy and rejoicing. When we know how much God has done for us, how deeply he has worked for us, that is when we really come out with how we express and know and feel praise and joy and generosity and rejoicing. And we find those aspects of spirit-filled worship in our passage. In verse 21, believers rejoice, and the Levites and the priests sing and play music. And in verse 22, the Levites praise Yahweh, and the worshippers give generously in the sense that they give sacrifices. And spirit-filled worship includes thanking Jesus wholeheartedly for everything, for all these things he's done. And as I say, gratitude is the seed of joy and rejoicing and praise and generosity. And these truths still are true nowadays. So, for instance, I'm really glad that Kate mentioned decolonization because decolonization being removing colonial legacies, taking that out of everything in your life, that's what decolonization is about. And I'm really glad she mentioned it because a little while ago, I used to go to, for a short time, I went to one denomination where I was actually the only white face. Everybody else was of a different ethnicity within this church. I was there for a good few weeks. And it was a really interesting denomination because on your 50th birthday, you became an elder. And you shared your testimony. And I heard several of those testimonies. And generally, this was the gist of them. This is what they said. When I was a child, many died from illness and insufficient food for all, because there just wasn't enough food in the community, in the country where I was growing up. Jesus saved me and I lived. Jesus saved me and I lived. The Lord gave me the opportunity to migrate to the UK. Here in the UK, God generously provides enough food to be shared between everybody, and there is an NHS. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. So I thank and praise Jesus that I live. I am alive. I live. I have made it to 50 years old. And there is enough food to share in this country and an NHS that cures. Gratitude. Gratitude is the seed of joy and rejoicing and praise and thanks. Earlier, I asked you to hold that thought, and now we circle right back to outcomes of the Spirit being contagious. It's in our reading, believers repent and throw away idols to improve their relationship with God. And it's so contagious that many priests and Levites also repent and consecrate themselves. The Spirit-filled worship inspires 7 extra days of communal worship, and the extra worship is so infectious that Hezekiah generously contributes many resources. And the extra worship is so catching that priests consecrate themselves, and that comes up in 2 verses. The outcomes of the Holy Spirit are so contagious that joy spreads throughout Jerusalem. It's the most powerful movement of the Spirit in decades. And overall, these outcomes of the Holy Spirit have spread to revival. And I believe that the revival in Jerusalem is echoed in an amazing vision which God gave to Kansas Free Church. The everyday vision is that we want to see kingdom life across Ely and beyond. It's up here on your R banner. The long-term vision is that in 100 years' time, more than 1,000 Christians will worship and evangelize in Ely and beyond. I don't know whether you've seen the leaflets. I think I picked it up the first time I came in this church. So our long-term vision, that in 100 years' time, more than 1,000 Christians will worship and evangelize in Ely and beyond. That is an amazing vision to receive. Let's end in a prayer for that vision to be fulfilled. Lord, Father, breathe life into our church. Holy Spirit, prompt us to worship, to encourage others, and to work for right relationships. Jesus, we worship you with gratitude, with joy, with rejoicing, with singing and generosity. And Father, spread kingdom life throughout Ely. So in 100 years' time and more, 1,000 Christians will worship and evangelize in Ely and beyond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.